Okay, good morning. Today is July 18th, and this is the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee, and I'm calling it to order. And we have Tony. Is Tony here?
Yes, I'm here.
Tony. Hi, Tony. How's your cat?
Hey, my cats are great. They're just getting brushed right now.
Would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Okay. Please stand. Put your hand on your heart. Veterans may salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. An excellent use of graphics, Desiree. Elizabeth, would you please do the roll call?
Okay. Tony Alabado.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Carol Downey.
Here.
Scott Fagg. Elaine Genoway. Sherry Horn. It just came on. Carolyn Inman.
Here.
Jim Levy.
Here.
John Pointer.
Here, Elizabeth.
Tony Rodella. Tony Rodella, I know you're here, but maybe you're...
He's muted.
You're muted, Tony. Okay. Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
And Evelyn Velez.
Here.
Okay.
And Elizabeth, I will send you an updated role, but... Paulo Morales is now a member of the committee as well, but I don't believe he's present this morning, but I'll send you an updated role.
Thank you.
And I'm here, Elizabeth, Sherry.
I got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I was going to introduce Paulo. Maybe he'll come in later, or maybe we'll see him next month. He has been assigned to, or has actually volunteered for our committee, so that's really great. But I was next going to introduce John and our speaker, Michael Costa, and I'm not seeing him on yet. John, do you see him?
Evelyn, so I'm going to make a phone call. Let me see
okay.
What's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a short agenda, so while you're doing that, let's go on. We do not have, because of the month of June being our vacation month, even though we did have to show up for meetings, we don't really have any old business or new business, but I do want to go on to the action item, which is AB 361. The recommendation is to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meetings in person present imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of members to meet safely in person. Do I have a first for continuing virtual meetings?
So moved. So,
Elizabeth is a first and a second.
Sherry, we'll start.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm on a small screen, so I just saw Carolyn Inman.
Sherry okay. Horn seconds.
Sherry Horn seconds, okay. All right, thank you very much. Elizabeth, do you want to do a roll call or would you prefer Desiree do a roll call?
Desiree normally does this particular roll call.
Okay.
Tony Alabado?
Yes.
Elizabeth motioned. Carol Downey?
Yes.
Scott Feig? Absent. Elaine Genoway? Absent. Sherry Horn? Second.
Yes.
Okay. Carolyn Inman?
Yes.
Jim Levy?
Present.
The vote was a yes, no, abstain?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Rodella? I think he's having microphone issues. A thumbs up, thumbs down.
Aye.
Thank you. Dave Tetzloff?
Dave, you're muted.
Okay, I see a thumbs up there. Of Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
And Paulo Morales, absent. And we do have majority chair.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. On to the subcommittee reports. Dave, do you have anything? I know this last month was a slow month for us. So were you able to meet? Do you have any update on your committee's work, subcommittee's work?
No, there is no update. We did gather some information, and I think we've heard from the office that all of the iPads have been distributed. We did request a report on the distribution of those by zip code. So we will be able to do some analysis in regards to needs and developing future needs if more computers do become available.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. I'm glad you got the request in for the data.
And I think the department did an excellent job of getting them distributed with all of the parameters that they were required to work with. So they did a super job on that.
Very good. Thank you, Dave.
Madam Chair? Okay.
Yes, I see.
Great. Our speaker is here.
Yes, I see that we have our speaker, Michael Costa. Dave, would you be so kind, please, as to introduce him to us?
Would you want Dave or do you want me?
I'm sorry, John.
The other Dave.
Wonderful.
The other Dave.
Michael, first, thank you for joining us. Michael has over 30 years of experience developing and implementing products, programs, and policies impacting older adults and other vulnerable populations. Michael was recently selected as the executive director for C4A, which is California Association of Area Agencies on Aging, C4A. Michael, this group would like to get a better understanding through your presentation of what C4A is and what do they do. So with that, Michael, thank you again for joining us. And I turn it over to you, Michael.
Before that, let me just ask everybody to mute, okay? Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning, and I look forward to having a good conversation with you. So C4A is an association of the Area Agencies on Aging in California. Most states have them, some states actually don't, but we represent the interest of the AAAs primarily in Sacramento, both on the legislative side and on the executive branch side. And I think historically we've had sort of we were sort of low on the radar. We really weren't very active. And so I came in, and now it's been a year actually since I've joined as executive director. And I was brought into the organization with the understanding that we would take a more active role as an association, advocating on behalf of our members and also on behalf of their partners who deliver services throughout the state. And my background actually is in primarily in healthcare. I'm a health policy person by training, and spent a lot of the first parts of my life designing managed care products and building provider networks, all those kind of things we all hate today, like PPOs and other kinds of plans. And I think the notion was that part of for social services now, the real action in the aging and disability space is really looking at the opportunities for social services and healthcare services to be aligned and integrated in the interest of actually really delivering on the prime directive for AAAs, which is to provide services that help vulnerable older adults remain in community as long as possible. And so I think there's been a general recognition that part of that effort is really looking at integrating and providing a continuum of services to older adults. So I've been here a year, and some of the things that we've sort of been involved in is we really got actively involved in, we put in a budget ask to the state legislature for $212 million which was quite a bit more than it had ever been asked for. And it was for a range of programs. And I want to just briefly go over those programs. The first was, one of the things that's happened during the pandemic is there are a lot of federal funds have flowed to the states that have allowed the states and service providers, CBOs, AAAs, to actually provide services at a higher level than had been the case before the pandemic. That's the good news for California. The bad news is a lot of that funding is ending. And in one area in particular that there's a vulnerability is in nutrition, where we've estimated that about $70 million is going to disappear in California shortly. And so we asked, as part of our budget ask, for the state to make up that difference. And really, because we didn't want to go over the cliff, we wanted to continue to provide the level of meal provision that had been possible, you know, during the pandemic. And so that was our primary ask. Our secondary ask was to kind of right a historical wrong. Back in 2009 and 2010, a lot of services that are community-based programs were cut back, and the state portion of those programs was cut back, even though the federal funding continued. And they included things like linkages programs and brown bags and a number of other services, information services, navigation services. And so we said, well, let's address that. Let's actually ask for money that actually would restore the funding for those programs and also inflate them by the inflation rate and by the fact that there are more folks now that use those programs than had been the case in 2009 and 2010. So that was our secondary ask, to really restore at an inflation-adjusted rate and a population-adjusted rate money for those programs. And now those programs are actually called things like case management, food and grocery provision and other kinds of things. So we wanted to make sure we built into that ask that we can address not only the traditional programs, but also the you know, the current programs that are the analogs, are what we kind of are doing now. So that was our secondary ask. And then our third ask was, one of the things that AAAs and contract out or provide directly a lot of different kinds of services. But one of the areas where we're kind of light is in the housing area. So we proposed, our third ask was an aging in place ask that actually would allow AAAs to get more involved in housing navigation, rental assistance, transportation, a variety of things that historically we hadn't done in the housing related area. So that was our third. And then we asked for some money for a pilot for Alzheimer's to occur in six areas as a pilot program for a couple of years. And that would involve having specialists within the AAAs in the information and referral part of the AAAs to actually have training in Alzheimer's and dementia. And they would specialize in helping folks navigate to services in those two areas. And they would have special training to do that. And that was set up as a pilot program. And then the last thing we asked for was $10 million for volunteers. Because as we all know, during the pandemic, kind of volunteers, a lot of them disappeared, and a lot of programs, no matter what those programs are, actually, you know, need to recruit again and retain a new volunteer base. And so we proposed that within every AAA, there would be a volunteer coordinator who would be charged with recruiting and retaining and providing some quality control for volunteers within the AAA. So we went through all the Sturm und Drang for the legislature went through with the governor and inside and between the assembly and the Senate and all that. And at the end of the day, in the final budget bill, we got about half of what we asked for. So we were pleased with that. It isn't everything we asked for, but we got about half of it. And we're now going to enter discussions with the Department of Aging on allocating that money Do we allocate it on a pro rata basis based on our original proposals? Or does the state, particularly the Department of Aging, have other ideas in terms of how that money is allocated? So we're about at that point. But that, I think, is one of the major accomplishments we did this year. Another thing is we asked the state itself, the Department of Aging, actually, for money to engage in education and business planning to lead to possible network development that the AAAs would be involved in that really would allow for integration of social services and healthcare services initially with CalAIM. A number of our individual AAAs have applied for CalAIM in various counties around the state, but this would look at, is there a role for C4A as the representative of all the AAAs in California to actually develop a network, a contracting network that would first of all, you know, negotiate with CalAIM plans, health plans, but then move into the Medicare Advantage market and then gradually, hopefully, into the Medicare, general Medicare market, because we know that the typical older adult is a Medicare enrollee, and technically about 98% of older adults over 65 are Medicare enrollees. So that's kind of where we want to make sure we go, and that would be expanded beyond the CalAIM group of folks. So the idea is that we're actually actively involved as an association representing our area agencies on aging and really involved with aging policy development in California. And the department toward that end is forming something called CA2030, which is a steering committee that's really going to look at issues not only related to further implementation of the master plan, but also, you know, where do we want to be 10 years from now? And I say we're sort of pleased because of the 10 or so non-Department of Aging members of that steering committee, the AAAs are 4 out of those 10 people. I'm on the steering committee as the representative of C4A, but then 3 AAAs will be on the steering committee as well, 1 county-based, 1 joint powers, because some of our members represent multiple counties, and then a nonprofit member. So we'll kind of represent all of the different kinds of AAAs in California. And that will also be kind of rural, urban, et cetera, split. And so we're hoping that we'll be active participants in that, actively participating in development of aging policy going forward. And so that's kind of a basic, you know, nutshell overview. If you have any questions, I'm happy to entertain them, answer them, address them.
Yes.
Okay, Jim.
I'd like to know if CSL, whether C4A actively assists CSL proposed bills in the way of supporting them and testifying them when they come before the different committees.
Well, I'm going to let John address a lot of the particulars, but we have been supportive of CSL in this latest cycle, and we were a sponsor of your rally day as well. And you supported us also. The larger group supported us. The legislature did, CSL. So, what we want to do actually as C4A is really engage other organizations representing older Californians and individuals with disabilities in California. So we've over the past year spent a lot of time, I think, trying to get to know, work with other organizations. And I think in terms of our budget ask that I was talking about, that first $212 million, I know CSL was a supporter of that. And we've been a supporter of CSL as well. So, and John, you can probably address that in greater detail.
Thank you, Michael. I think we have the strongest working relationship with C4A that we've ever had since my tenure as the Chair Joint Rules Committee. That is a no small part due to Michael. Okay. There's also been a change in mindset at C4A. We've also worked closely, as Michael has pointed out, in a number of different projects. We're very interested in the volunteer program. We even had that as part of the senior rally in the afternoon. And we look forward to working with C4A in 2023 on this issue of ageism, which we think is, as the senior population grows, gee, what a surprise, becoming more prevalent in society. So that's something we want to continue to have some further. So what Michael has stated, I echo, and I'll double down in terms of the relationship we have with C4A and what kind of cooperation we've achieved. So if we need somebody to testify from C4A, I know we'll get it, Jim.
Thank you.
John, can you please do me a favor? I have a very small screen, so I can't see everybody whose hands are up. Would you please call on people as they raise their hands? And I have some questions too, but right now there's a lot of noise outside my car. So I see Carolyn, and then John, if you wouldn't mind taking over, please.
Okay, I have two quick questions. Number one, perhaps I missed it, but how much of the money right now is one time only and then possibly disappearing in the future?
So we've asked for the $59 million that I cited that we got is for this fiscal year, but there's two more years. So what we did was ask for almost all of our ask, four out of five of them were one time only over 3 years.
Okay.
We were told that it was very difficult to ask for one time only for more than 3 years, but we could do it for three. So the 59 is for this year, it goes to 89 next year, and then I think maybe to 63 the year after. I'm a little hesitant on that.
Yeah.
And that covers all the programs except the pilot program, which is, it's a pilot program for 2 years. So that's a set budget for that.
Okay. My other one was that I know in my town, we're having trouble getting the drivers back for Meals on Wheels for obvious reasons. It takes gas and it's a big town and they have to drive a fair amount in some cases. It's just a really hard thing because recruiting is also difficult because all the people haven't come back to the center yet and all that sort of thing. My thought over the weekend as I was thinking about this, there is money that I know of in our town. Is it a bad idea or a good idea to offer some kind of a gas stipend to people, but word it so that it would be not permanent? Because it kind of takes away the whole idea of volunteering, but not really, because we're hoping that this gas thing isn't going to go on forever.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a technical answer to that, whether that's allowable, that I don't know. Actually, I don't know the answer to that. I would probably say, let's look at what the possibilities are to do that. And if possible, it makes sense, because we do know that, it costs a lot more money now to drive anywhere than it did. The other thing I'll say is I'm going to put in a plug for Holly Hagler, and who's head of the Meals on Wheels senior serve, I guess, in Orange County. She's very active in state policy development. I think she's head of their of MOCA, the Meals on Wheels California Legislative Committee. And she would be, I'm assuming you guys have a good working relationship with her, because she's very active and she may know the answer to that question off the top of her head, actually, since she also runs a meal program, so.
Now, would Desiree or someone have contact information for her?
Erica works frequently with Holly.
Okay, I'll ask for it there. Thank you.
Yeah, because I think Holly may be able to answer that question.
Carolyn, we do have contact. I can share that with you after this.
Okay, thank you.
No more questions, Carolyn?
That's it. Thank you so much.
Michael, my question is referencing CA 2030, where you're working closely with CDA. I would think that would be extremely challenging to try and envision the future for the AAAs, because as you've learned, I'm sure, there is an immense difference between a CDA in the Northern California, a AAA in Northern California, and the powerhouse in Southern California, Los Angeles, which is now combined to become, you know, even larger because they've combined the city and the county organization. So it seems like, you know, on the one hand, you've got this massive behemoth in LA, and on the other hand, you've got somebody up north with, you know, a limited staff trying to provide services to people that probably are in just as much need, but unfortunately are so difficult to reach because of transportation issues. I think the challenge is daunting, I would think.
Yeah. Well, it raises a question, because this whole subject of integrating with healthcare, you know, on the brings up that point in high relief, because a lot, you know, AAAs provide traditional, you know, Older Americans Act services either directly or by contracting out. And how far you get beyond that into non-OAA services and non-Older Californians Act services is sort of the decision or the discussion that any AAA would have, you know, internally. And some, I think of the AAAs in California along three lines, really. One is, in terms of the healthcare, at least, there are those that are already contracting, they're already involved in healthcare. Those are the Ventura counties and the Riverside counties, and they're already doing it. And so they're kind of ahead of the game. Then there's smaller AAAs, as you point out, and often rural, that really, you know, they're kind of strapped, and they don't have the resources to be able to do what you know, a Ventura County can do, for example, or in theory an LA county. So they may never get very far beyond Older Americans Act and Older Californians Act services. So what happens if we decide that, you know, we would like to, you know, have a statewide network? Then I think that's when you begin to have conversations with other folks about partnering to fill the gaps where there are those gaps. And so, you know, there's some, you know, there's some interesting things going on in Northern California that may provide opportunities for those AAAs to kind of get involved in partnerships that actually up their resource ability and their capabilities, and then they can think about contracting with healthcare, for example. And then there's those AAAs, which I think are about 15 of them across the state, that really would like to get involved in CalAIM, and they would like to do something. They don't quite know how. So we have a technical assistance project going on right now that is being led by Pam Mokler, who was the former head of the AAA in Orange County back a while ago. And she's really gotten into healthcare over the subsequent years and worked with AAAs and worked inside healthcare plans like Care First, and actually, you know, really is leading this technical assistance project, where every AAA has the opportunity, who's interested in contracting with CalAIM, has the opportunity to work with her and Katie Weber, who's another outside consultant, in a hands-on way, really in the weeds, do what they need to do to apply to become CalAIM providers, and we help them, you know, actually, you know, go through that process. And actually also identify sources of funding, because there's some state sources of funding now that that kind of reimbursed and support capacity building within the AAAs. So we're actually trying to help that great middle respond to the CalAIM opportunity quickly. And so, you know, so I'm thinking of these kind of three buckets, and there's a different approach with each of the buckets that we're trying to do. But we really want to try to help all of our members in the way that is appropriate for them.
Thank you, Michael. Evelyn, your turn.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm going to show a lot of ignorance here. Who are the AAAs?
Oh, okay. This is a conversation I most often have, actually, is answering that question. When I came into the job a year ago, I realized that nobody really knows what a AAA is, you know, except for some cognoscenti, you know, there are a few people, a few folks. And so under the Older Americans Act, that was actually originally one of Lyndon Johnson's legislative accomplishments in 1965, actually, same time as Medicare and Medicaid. Over the years, first of all, services were defined for folks over 60, and then the AAA system kind of evolved over time. And the area agencies on aging are an entity within what's known as a public service area, I believe I have that right, PSAs, that actually are the designated entity under the Older Americans Act that is responsible for coordinating the delivery of Older Americans Act services. So they can be a county. So a AAA in Orange County, you have a AAA that is a county-based AAA, Area Agency on Aging. And they're typically called Department of Aging. So if you have a county Department of Aging, chances are that's the AAA. And they, you know, so they either provide services directly or they contract it out. My knowledge of Orange County is that Orange County mostly contracts out service delivery for their services. And that's a little different than, say, San Diego County, which does a lot of stuff in-house. So it varies by county what they do. But these really are the entities that are and they are a network across the country, and they vary in structure, you know, as John's pointed out. But they actually provide the basis for delivering services to older adults over 60 and in this country. So I like to say that it's the, you know, the network that nobody knows. Because we all know about healthcare networks. We all know about Medicaid and Medicare, but we don't really know about the AAA networks. And one of the things I want to do is try to, you know, bring the AAAs out of the closet, as it were, and really get people to know what the value of the AAAs, what they do and what they could do going forward.
Okay, so the Orange County Office on Aging is a AAA.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have an ask, which is property tax postponement with the controller's office. I've been looking into it and I cannot find any information, any detailed information, but this is a service that works for, that allows seniors, blind, and disabled to defer their capital, their property taxes. And it's a 1 year, you have to ask every year, and it is a limited budget. And so because of the situation in housing and aging in place, I live in a community, I live in Leisure World, and there are a lot of people here who are on very fixed incomes, and property taxes are an issue for them. Being able to pay that's like, you know, a third of their monthly expense. So I'm asking if there is something that the AAAs can do in terms of seeing how much demand there is for the property tax postponement versus what they're actually able to supply.
Yeah, I'd say that's not our role, our traditional role. But I think maybe a year from now, as we implement the money that we just got for housing navigation, we can begin to define the services that AAAs would provide. And some of that may be interceding in this way, in this issue. But we're not set up to do that now. So at least as far as I know, and it may be that Orange County has some ability to do that, on the local level, but I wouldn't know about that actually. So.
Okay. Thank you. And then of the $70 million that you said in nutrition funding that's disappearing, how much of that do you think you'll be able to keep or bring back?
Well, we're going to sit down with the Department of Aging next month and kind of figure out of that $59 million that's available this fiscal year, how much of that goes to nutrition. And it's complicated partly by the fact that there is some money that wasn't expended, that was allocated but not expended in the last fiscal year, that's available. And so we're trying to determine how much that is. I'd like to see it, you know, whatever's left over from last year, that we then use the money from the 59 to top it off and bring it back to 70. So we will fully fund the loss, the $70 million loss. But that's going to be a conversation we're going to have with the state.
Oh, are you saying that the $70 million was exclusively for seniors? Because there was nutrition funding for everybody. Yes. This $70 million was just for seniors.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, it was for a delivery of nutrition programs. So no, it might have been for more than, you know, seniors.
Okay.
It's just whatever the federal use of those funds was, whatever that was, it's the same for this. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think realistically, it probably wasn't just for seniors.
I've got a clarification, Michael, in Evelyn's point with regards to property taxes. If that's something, Evelyn, you want to pursue, there are several people on the Ledge committee here that are with CSL that would love to talk to you and see if that's something that we would submit next year during the January to June time period as a legislative proposal. Well, let me give you an idea of the climate. We tried last year to simply allow for a more liberal payment process on your property taxes. And the county, this is probably incorrect, but I'm going to refer to them as county assessors, spoke to that and said, we don't support that. And the governor listened. Mm-hmm. And that died in, I believe it was the Senate. That is a powerful group that has the governor's ear. That doesn't mean that we can't see change. I think we just need to recognize there are people out there that don't want to see any change to the current property tax structure and how it's paid. And I better take property tax structure off the table, because there's clearly efforts to change Prop 13. I think I'll just stick with how we pay our taxes, our property taxes. So something we will work with you on, though, if you want to pursue that.
Okay, yes.
We'll put something together.
Yes, thank you. I would very much like to, because it's hard to get the information, you know, how much, what's the gap between the ask and the funds available? Because you want to keep people, low-income people, you want to keep them in their home. You don't want them homeless.
Absolutely. Why should we add to the problem?
Right. Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions of Michael? Well, Michael, I'm going to speak for Evelyn. She may want to chime in as well, but I think this was extremely informative. I think people have a better understanding now of what is a AAA and what the organization that represents the AAAs does. And I think it now gives them a better opportunity to go forward and work with the AAA in terms of things they want to see get done. So thank you very much. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, and thank you. I would like to chime in and say congratulations on your very progressive approach. I'm glad that they have decided to expand and that you have stepped into the role. I really appreciate your coming to the meeting today.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure being here. So.
Okay. All right. You are welcome to stay, but I'm sure you have things to do.
Yeah, I have to hop to my next meeting, but thank you again.
All right. And also, thank you, John, for arranging this. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Michael. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Okay, I want to move back to the agenda. We were on 7B, Elder Abuse Subcommittee. So we likewise were off the month of June. We did not meet. But next month, I have confirmed that we have the district attorney's office speaking. We are hoping Todd Spitzer will be there, as well as Mike Hernandez. And Mike Hernandez is from the Family Protection Unit. I did ask them to speak specifically about elder abuse. And so that'll be next month. By the way, Lillian, I have not heard from that organization that does the elder abuse coordination in Orange County. I haven't heard anything back from them. If you can send them an email.
Yes, Evelyn, they are dark this month. So they're resuming in August. And I told myself that as soon as I get the, they normally send it a couple of days in advance, the Zoom. If you don't receive it, I'll copy you regardless whether or not they copy you. So just to make sure that you'll be in attendance.
Okay. Thanks, okay. Lillian. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. John, you're back on with item number 8, the legislative tracking.
Thank you. Let me see if I can get myself together here. There are 5 bills that continue to make progress through the legislature. They are AB 2511, backup electrical supply for nursing homes. Let me again do a shout out to Elaine. I sat in a ledge committee meeting, I believe it was 2 years ago, and Elaine brought that up once. I latched onto that like a dog on a bone and proceeded, and we believe we stand a very good chance of seeing that get through. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Nothing's a sure thing until the governor signs that thing. The feedback we're getting is it looks pretty good. AB 2338, this is surrogate consent laws. Still moving through the legislature. AB 2145, oral health, skilled nursing homes. Again, looking very good. Very good. AB 2069, home health aid training program scholarship. Again, in this current climate, looking very good. Very good. SB 842, medical goods. This is where there's a pilot program where medical equipment is recycled in certain counties in Northern California. Senator Dodd is the author of this and has significant clout in the legislature, is even making waves. He might run for governor. So all of that can't do anything but help us get this bill through the legislature. Lastly, personal needs allowance. Yet again, failed to get out of the legislature. So as you may recall, we started last year. It didn't get through. We said, well, let's test the waters. We'll lower the amount to 50. I don't think we found bottom. I'm not sure there is a bottom. As you may recall, this has been decades old in terms of coming. And discouraging with a budget surplus the size that we have, but it is what it is. So that's the current status. I've just gotten the latest report from Justice and Aging that summarizes the close to 40 senior bills affecting seniors that is arranged per the MPA. I'll try to send that out to you before the end of the day. So you can have a look at that as well. Evelyn, if I could also do say two more things. I think it's September 20th is a meeting in Sacramento sponsored by CDA. It's sort of like a call to action, an attempt to pull together what the accomplishments have been and what are we trying to do for the remainder of the decade. It's in person. However, the good news is it's also going to be virtual. So with variant 5 seeming to take off like no tomorrow, that might be a more of a comfort zone for people who want to participate virtually rather than in person. It's at the SAFE, that's an interesting choice of terms, SAFE Credit Union Convention Hall. So SAFE. So there's information out there. I'll send it to you, Evelyn, for redistribution should people want to participate in that either in person or virtually.
Okay, great. Thank you. You said two things. Was there something else?
Tony's got his hand raised. Tony's Evelyn,
Okay. Hi, Tony. You're muted.
John, I missed the first bill, the number of the first bill.
2511.
I got to go dig it out. Okay. It is AB 2511, backup electrical supply for nursing homes.
Okay. Thank you.
I am so disappointed about this personal needs allowance. I really thought that you had, you were going to get some traction this year with the. It's embarrassing.
So, Evelyn, what this body may want to do is go to Ledge Info and in the upper right-hand corner, type in AB 2077 and then look for I think it's legislative analysis. It's along the toolbar along the top where you can find status, history, text of the bill, et cetera. Just click on the first one, Senate appropriation. There's, I think, five of them. It gives you some context in terms of what they're trying, what they're basing right or wrong. It gives us some context in terms of what they're basing the decision on. So, and then most of the others are pretty much the same, but it just gives you some context around. So what's the thinking? What's the analysis being provided to the legislators so they can make a decision?
Okay.
Don't they estimate the financial impact of what this would be? And that's how they've always said it was too much to put through on the budget.
I think it's more, yes, Jim, that's in the analysis. And I think it's more a matter of the, I'm going to use term conflict. That may be a poor choice of terms between the cost of living increased and Medicare. Evidently, there's offsets that have to be made up. And it seems like the legislature doesn't want to make them up. So someone else, maybe way more astute than I am when they read it and have a different interpretation. That's why I urge you to take a look at it. And it might be worth discussing at a future Ledge Committee meeting to give you a sense of one, the analysis that goes into each of these bills, and two, the thinking around why something should or shouldn't be passed. And just as importantly, who's in support of it and who's against it. And even when there's nobody against it, that doesn't mean it's going to pass. So anyway, I urge you to take a look.
Okay.
Tony's got a question.
Yeah, no, just I have a statement. Remember when I was on the state long-term care state committee with Assemblyman Calra? All the organizations that were represented in the committee, I brought that subject up, and everybody was opposed to it. I mean, they said they would fight it because it would take money away from them. Yeah. And Meals on Wheels, everybody just eminently opposed to it. So, you know, unfortunately, that's part about it, you know. All other senior organizations were opposed to it. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments for John? Okay, I don't see any. John, thank you not only for bringing in the speaker today, but for a great presentation. Appreciate it.
You bet, Evelyn. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to 9, I still don't see Paolo anywhere. So, okay, we will move on to 10, announcements and roundtable discussion. Do we have any announcements? Dave.
This may be out of order, but I don't think we took the roll call vote on item number 6. Did we?
You're right. I don't think we. Well, wait. No, we did. We did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Desiree okay. did it.
Okay.
I wasn't. I joined late, so I missed that. So I'm an aye on that, Desiree.
Yeah. The.
Okay. Any other roundtable discussion? All right. Then moving on to 11, public matters. Desiree, are there any members of the public attending?
We did not receive any requests in advance, but there is one member of the public attending. If you would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will mute you. And we do have a hand raised chair. So I will go ahead and unmute Mr. Bill Sandlin, and you do have 3 minutes to address the committee.
You're muted, Mr. Sandlin. Oh, still, sorry.
Mr. Sandlin, if you would go ahead and unmute yourself and I will start the timer.
Sorry.
When you're ready. Okay, you're 3 minutes.
Pressing the wrong button there. Okay, I should have waited and maybe addressed this when Michael was still there, but I never did hear the acronyms for the AAA. I would imagine each A stands for something. So that's, I was just kind of curious what the AAA was. My question.
Okay, that would be Area Agency on Aging. And the speaker today was from the California Association of Area Agencies on Aging. So that's why he's a C4 and the others are C4A and the others are 3As.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see the agenda. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming. All right. Unless there are any other questions or comments, this meeting will adjourn. Our next meeting is August 15th. And again, our speaker will be the Orange County District Attorney's Office. Thank you very much for your participation and for attending the meeting. You guys have a great rest of the month. Bye-bye.
Bye.